Famous Monsters Podcast, talking about all things horror, sci-fi, fantasy, just plain old nerd-related stuff. I'm your host, George, your jack of all trades, and with me today is Jen Pham, our art director.
Heyo.
Heyo, indeed. And of course we got... What? I don't understand what's going on.
I don't know. It felt right.
You guys are silly. And we also have Eleni the... What's it going to be?
Falcon!
Wait, is that a thing that you guys do? I didn't know that was a thing.
What?
Yeah.
What is the thing that we do?
The Falcon.
It's something that changes like all the time. I have no idea what it's going to be until it happens, to be honest. It's a mystery to me, too. And I write this thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So, very interesting stuff, I got to say. But let's hear who's sponsoring today's episode. This week's episode is brought to you by Famous Monsters TV. Tired of getting paper cuts from your FM magazine? Or have you sprained your thumb from flipping through your FM archive? Then tune in to Famous Monsters TV every Saturday at 10 p.m. on Coffee 20 or Cable 713 to get your weekly dose of FM. From the pages to your screen, FM TV is the number one source to everything horror, sci-fi, and fantasy. Now back to the show. All right, guys, let's get it done.
That was pretty incredible.
Guys,
good job.
You guys are ridiculous.
Did you just do that in like one breath?
That wasn't me. That was our special announcer guest that we hired the other week.
He did an excellent job.
Yeah, oh, he's awesome. Yeah, I love Toby. Yeah. Toby's the greatest. Yeah. That's his name. We're going to call him Toby.
Okay. Toby.
Yeah.
Thank you, Toby.
Thanks, Toby.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Good intern. We don't actually pay him yet. You know, he's got to make his way first. So, he's working hard. But this week, I'm pretty excited. We got the Kingsman, the Golden Circle coming out. Anyone who's watched The Kingsman Part 1, I'm pretty sure was surprised that it was going to be as amazing and as good as it was. I know I was.
I was surprised.
Yeah, because usually, and I shouldn't have been. Shouldn't have been surprised, because directed by Matthew Vaughn, anyone's familiar with his work, the guy did a thing with Daniel Craig back in the day called Layer Cake. Amazing movie. Very Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels kind of movie. But just utter craziness of him destroying, like, Britain, whatever. But to furthermore accentuate how great Matthew Vaughn is, he did X-Men First Class, the kick-ass movie. Mm-hmm. He's proven, like, give him a comic book, he's going to turn it into a badass film. So there shouldn't have been a doubt. But the Kingsman wasn't actually called The Kingsman when it was a comic book.
No.
It was just called The Secret Service. So for me, I was kind of like, I don't know what The Kingsman is. What is this? So me personally, I was taken aback. Like, I don't know what I'm getting myself into until I did my research, as one does. And I was like, oh, it's that book. Which anyone familiar with the book knows is by Mark Millar, a man who's no stranger to making a hit every once in a while. Things like Logan and Civil War, you know, just to name a few blockbuster hits.
Just a few.
Yeah. But on to The Kingsman, because that is our main event, of course. I'm stoked. Anyway, have you guys seen the trailer for this thing yet?
I have.
I've seen the trailer.
Now, I think it goes without saying, anytime you have a movie that starts off, it's like, it was a standalone film. It was a standalone book. There is no sequel to this comic book at this point in time.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, where are you going to go with this?
Yeah.
You know, does it even need a sequel? Part one was pretty solid, you know. I'm one of those people that's like, I don't need a sequel. You know, if you made a good, solid part one, then I'm good. You don't have, I don't need anymore. I'm not one of those gluttons who's like, yeah, give me 10,000 sequels, you know?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for Rocky 10. No, I don't need that, you know?
Right.
Don't give me that. Don't give me Jaws 22, all right? I don't need Rambo 18. Just give me the one. If it's really good, I'm awesome. But I gotta say, when I saw the trailer for this, I was like, okay, I'm down. I want some more Kingsman. And whoever these Statesmen guys are, I'm down for that too. Because you know what? Like, Channing Tatum, that was a boat that I wasn't willing to be a part of for a while. I was like, get this dancing fool out of my face. All right. I don't need this guy in my life. All right. But he's proven himself with things like 21 Jump Street, which also thought was like, you don't need to do that. And again, he's like, okay, Channing, you proved you got some comedy chops.
Yeah, he's
you
got
know?
Some good, like, physical and comedic timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very much, you know what he reminds me of? And it's too bad, you know, our boy Chase isn't in this episode, you know, he's sick tonight. But Channing Tatum reminds me of Chase, but a lot more dancing.
on whose part.
Are we thinking about it? Are we thinking about it?
Who does more dancing? I can't.
Actually. We'll never know. We'll have one day. The dream is to get them in the same room and have them have a dance off.
I mean, Chase does a lot of dancing.
He does do a lot of dancing. It's very true. Yeah. Come to one of our shows and you'll get to see Chase will be in the FM booth to dancing his booty off. Selling shirts and dancing the booty. But no, yeah. I'm super excited to see what he does with this cowboy spy character, which also seems like Europe has, or Britain has, the Kingsmen, who are these classy men who own tailor shops that are undercover spy shops.
The typical, like, when you think of, like, a British guy, like, that's usually the image that comes to mind is, like,
refined gentleman.
Yeah. Yes, very clean.
Yeah.
And then I guess they all look
like they're a prime minister. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then cowboys and Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges.
Right.
But yeah, I love the over the topness that Matthew Vaughn brings to the Kingsman. And we're familiar with the comic book. Like it's very gritty, which part one was too. Like, people die. There's a lot of death. Yeah. There's blood, there's everything. And the comic book is very much that, too. But the comic book didn't have a lot of comedy to it, in my eyes.
No.
It's very serious, you know. It's straight to, it is very much a spy-centric thing. You know, it's a lot of espionage of sorts. While this plays on that, there's a lot, I thought there's a lot of comedy, especially from the Eggsy character. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's hilarious. I thought he was so, so funny in this. And it's like, that's... As much of a hooligan, I guess he kind of was. It's like, I want to hang out with that guy. Mm-hmm. He seems like a cool guy. Yeah.
Cheeky Nando's.
Yeah.
That's every time I see him, I just like get that, like get some cheeky Nando's.
But, I think that for anyone who saw The Kingsman Part 1, the scene that sold it for me was, and it's from someone that you never expected. I've never been a Colin Firth fan of sorts. You know, it's like Pride and Prejudice. Yeah, all right. I don't know. I love me some Jane Austen as much as the next guy. But it's just like, I never saw like how he was, like, he was considered like the it man of like hotness for some women. I was like, really? And I was like, and then he's like this cool guy. I was like, I don't see it. But then in The Kingsman, he comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, that casting director obviously disagrees with you.
Yeah, and I disagree with past George, too, because George of today is like, man, freaking Colin Firth kicks some ass. Right. There's a church scene. If you have not seen Kingsman yet, watch it, because there's a church scene.
At least for that scene alone.
Alone, yeah. Go to YouTube right now and check it out.
Yeah, it is on
He
there.
Just annihilates
He's
everyone in this church. It was like one of those...
It was like the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yes, exactly.
Right, yeah.
So, not to make fun of anyone or put anyone down, but there are a bunch of crazy people in this scripture, right? I know, teach their own, but these people were crazy, and they kind of had it coming.
Mm-hmm.
But to even give a little more backstory, if you're not familiar with this, Samuel Jackson, who is the villain of the movie, who anything Samuel Jackson is in, you have a pretty much a guaranteed enjoyment factor.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how bad the movie is, like Snakes in the Plane sucks, but you're going to watch it because Samuel Jackson is entertaining as hell. You know,
so
it's
true.
It's very self-aware, and Samuel Jackson kicks ass all the time. And he doesn't fail in this. He is amazing. He kind of has like this lispy stutter, which adds to his character.
Kind of.
It is.
I'm just trying to be kind. Yeah, and he's trying to take over the world like any villain does, and he creates this pretty much like this sound-activated thing that makes a person just go mental, and they do.
Yeah, it's through the cell phones.
Chaos. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Colin Firth's character cannot help but to be violent and defend himself. And being a trained 007-esque agent, these people had no chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's shot beautifully. It is, if I remember correctly, it's just one shot. The camera does not pan away from this whole scene.
I believe so, yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's very much anyone who's seen Daredevil. Same thing.
Actually, on...
Oh, you...
I just today, like, I went on YouTube and watched. Because I haven't seen the movie... But I read the comic, and I was watching clips of it, and that was one of the clips that I watched, and I was like, okay, I see where this movie is going with this.
If that's all you see, I think you've won
for
the
day.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what got me into watching the movie, actually.
Really?
I saw, by accident, a YouTube, you know, rabbit hole of extravaganza. You know, it's just like, oh, what am I watching today? And I was like, what is this? And it didn't actually say what the title of the movie was. I think it was just like, Colin Firth, badass. I was like, that can't be accurate.
You're like, what?
Yeah. And then I read the description. It was like, from The Kingsman. I was like, oh my God, I got to watch The Kingsman. I think later on that night, I told you, I was like, yeah, we're going to watch Kingsman tonight. And you're like, whatever. And it was like the best decision.
For it was. Night. I don't remember what our plans were, but they were good plans.
Yeah. And I think it's like, whenever we watch like a random movie, Jen's like, yeah, okay, I'll watch it with you. I don't really care. And then she'll go and play with her computer, look at her phone. And little by little, as every scene amped up into like another fight, like the phone went down, the computer got turned off, books got put away. She's like, okay, I'm going to watch this now.
It's like I'm invested
just
now.
Just getting real. So. Yeah, the action was amazing. It was just, it's over the top. It's just ridiculousness. But paced in a way that's just right, where it's like, it doesn't feel too campy and too clowning around. Like he did a really good job of leveling everything out, I felt, with the first one. The question is, will part two equal those standards, though? Yeah.
Well, you know, you've got at least one laser lasso.
Right? I did see that.
Yeah.
Right? I thought I did.
I saw that as well, so. Yeah.
I missed that. Laser lasso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole joke
of like the British guys are like, don't know what a lasso is or don't care, and they call it a skip rope, and they're like, oh, the lasso. Yeah. And they're just like, oh, whatever. But then he's lassoing people, and then it just turns into like a laser and cuts a dude in half.
Yeah.
At least that's what it looks like it's doing.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets real. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's another thing I really liked about this movie, too, because I felt like in the comic book, there wasn't a really big play on gadgets. You know? You read it again recently. Yeah. Do you remember there being like a really big like emphasis on it, you know?
I mean, they were definitely present.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like how like in like 007 movies, they go through the whole scene with Q and it's just like, this is what I have for you today. Like that kind of stuff. And, so it didn't have that. Like there were gadgets. There was the car that flew. Like,
yeah, of course.
Just shot wings out and flew. So it had some of that, but not where it especially stood out to me as being, like, more emphasized than any other spy movie, I guess.
Yeah, I being a person who grew up on 007, like, I love hidden gadget things like that. Get Smart. Like, and that's what this felt like for me a little bit, too. It's like that homage to like a Get Smart 007 thing. Or even like I was telling Jen earlier before, was that it's that nice middle ground of 007 meets Austin Powers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Austin Powers obviously super funny. That doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Yeah.
You know, this is right there in that sweet spot where I'm gonna get a laugh, but then I'm gonna get a kick ass, you know, fight scene with explosions and, you know, some reasonably logical Michael Bayness. Of sorts, you know.
I don't even know what that means.
I just mean some terminology.
A little bit of an oxymoron, reasonably logical. Yeah. Michael Bay.
Words that never get said, ever, when watching Transformers.
Not. No. Yeah. Are you feeling okay?
But you've seen The Kingsman. Does that feel accurate?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm for part two. I'm excited to see more of it because we've seen some gadgets already.
Yeah.
In the trailer, some returning gadgets like the bulletproof umbrella that has a machine gun in it, you know,
which I want.
Doesn't want that.
I want.
You know, I thought I always wanted the umbrella with the sword in it. F that. I want.
No, you want the upgrade. Umbrella
with the bulletproof covering and a machine gun. But then there's like the suitcase with a machine. Everything has a machine gun. It feels like.
In this it wasn't even a machine gun in the suitcase. It looked like a straight up like RPG.
Yeah, it's true. Right there was like a missile that comes out of it at one point. Yeah. So it's like, I feel like they looked at part one, it's like, all right, this is really cool. We had like a lighter that was a grenade. We had the shoe that had the knife in it. What can we do with this? And whoever was like the props guy for Vaughn in this movie is like, well, honestly, I get anything you got here, and I'll turn whatever you want into a bomb. And I'm from Australia.
Apparently.
Where we go boom, boom, boom on the Barbie. But I just think like everything he looked at, it's like, well, how about that table? Gun. Couch, gun. Painting, gun.
It's like you just take a walk around your house and be like, what are all the objects in my house and how do I turn them into weapons?
Right, exactly.
It's like a steroided episode of like Pimp My Ride, where it's like, how many TV screens can I put in this car? Like, what can I turn into a gun?
Exactly. There. Yeah. And I'm all for it, honestly. Like it's a rare thing. Like I'm super excited for a sequel that shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I am a little fearful, just a little fearful that it might be a little too over the top. And I don't know why the first movie of over the topness comes to mind, but...
What, like Sylvester Stallone?
No. Just in general, like movies that are over the top.
Not arm wrestling movies.
No. Not, I totally just repressed that. But, what? Sorry, not my thing. I'm sorry. If that's,
don't worry, Sly. I got your back,
but the first
buddy.
Movie that came to mind was like Crank and how that was too over the top.
Oh, and yeah. Every yeah. Way and then part the two somehow managed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's what I'm afraid of. I'm like, oh, please, no. But, yeah.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, that's usually the thing to fear with anything like this is that sometimes part two sees what part one did and it's like, okay, well this worked, so now we got to do like 10 of those, yeah. 1,000 times.
And they're adding a lot of people, so yeah. It also makes me think of like Expendables. Like, how many dudes can we add to this movie?
What star did we forget from last?
Yeah, time? Exactly. It's like, all right, let's load it up. That's why I'm a little uneasy, but yeah. I'm still gonna watch it and I'll probably still enjoy it. I hope.
But he got that sweet, sweet prince.
My sweet,
from
sweet prince, I
Game
know.
Of Thrones, you know, Pedro Pascal.
I know.
I say it with an accent as if he talks with an accent. The dude's like American and everything, but I don't care.
Well, because when he was the sweet, sweet prince, he talked with an yeah. accent.
Yeah. I'm excited for him. If anyone doesn't remember who Pedro Pascal is, he played Prince Oberon in Game of Thrones. That was my boy.
Yeah.
I got excited when I saw him in a trailer just recently. Like, I watched like a new trailer that came out, and I was like, what? He's one of the statesmen? Well, I was going to watch this movie anyway, but if my boy's in it, then I'm definitely watching it now. Because this guy is like, he's a cool, suave guy. Yeah. Like, just in life. Like, he seems like a super cool guy. It's like, man, I'd hang out with that guy. That guy would be my wingman if I was single again. That would be the guy, you know? But then I remember, it's like, he wouldn't be my wingman because he'd probably take both girls home. Because he's that cool. But that's just what I think, yeah. But yeah, I think he's going to be pretty cool. I think that the whole cowboy meets refined gentleman is going to be super awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. I don't actually know too much of, like, obviously there's another bad guy who's going to take over the world. And this time it's Julianne Moore, mm-hmm. which that I'm thumbs up on. I love Julianne Moore. Mm-hmm. She's so cool.
She's great, yeah.
And I don't think I've ever seen her as a bad guy before. So I'm always interested in seeing someone who's usually a good protagonist become a villain, you know, because they usually knock it out of the park. You're thinking about it right now. I see the thinking faces.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I can't think of anything that she's been, like, the villain in now.
Right?
But yeah. What immediately came to mind is every time Sigourney Weaver has played a villain, and she did a good job every single time. She's done that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think she knew. Yeah. Well, maybe The Big Lebowski, was she? She wasn't a villain, per se, but she wasn't a good guy. Although it was good to see her, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her and the dude. Which, this is kind of a reunited thing, because the dude is in this movie.
That is true.
Yeah. Just noticed that. Little 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon style right there. Just sitting together. But yeah, but a big thing I think it has to get talked about, as I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. is that Mark Millar is the writer of this.
Mm-hmm.
This dude has taken over. You know, anyone who hasn't realized, it's like, the biggest comic book films that people have been going to have practically all been written by this guy.
Yeah,
it's very true.
Yeah, and it's like, and whether you realize it or not, you've probably watched a Mark Millar film and loved it. You know, the guy did, he wrote Wanted, he wrote Kick-Ass, he wrote The Kingsman, which we're going to watch this weekend. You know, like I said before, Logan, Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
He has a whole line of books called The Millar World, which is distributed by Image Comic Books. Which anyone knows, but they do freaking The Walking Dead and Spawn and everything. They've been around since the 20s. Since the 90s, been around for 20 years.
I know, I was like, wait a second, really?
Numbers, they get juggled around, do whatever I want with them. But yeah, he's taken over to the point where Netflix has now actually bought the rights to the Millar world. And now they're going to make all his stuff into movies and TV shows. And I'm pretty excited for that, because who hasn't liked the movies he's done so far?
Yeah,
you know,
that is true. Yeah.
Like, have you guys, of any of those films I just mentioned, like, have you seen any of them? And which one, like, really, it was like your favorite? Just to
well, Logan was
spout
amazing.
Out.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read Old Man Logan itself.
Really?
I have not. Oh. I have read about it. Olivia's read most of it and filled me in on what happens, yeah. And it's not exactly the same. I have read...
Some of them are very loose adaptations.
Yeah, like Civil War.
Civil War was pretty different, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, like, his original stories are more spot on than the Marvel stories, because Marvel does whatever the hell it wants, you know. Things have to make sense in a much grander scheme, you know. The things he does for them is usually a one-off thing, you know, except for Civil War, which was a big Marvel event that did affect the whole Marvel universe.
Yeah,
yes.
But, yeah, so there's free reign there.
I still feel like it's like the core of his stories.
Yeah, the name.
Get turned into, the name. Right. And, like, the sort of, like, the concept and ideas and some of the execution, even if a lot of the individual plot details are different, pretty like translate into movies really well.
Yeah, because he's got a really good grittiness about how he writes a story. Like, I would personally even consider him like our modern day Frank Miller of sorts, or even Alan Moore kind of thing. Probably closer to Frank though, where like, because Frank Miller did something in the like late 70s, early 80s, where he took characters like Daredevil and Batman and brought them down to the dirt. You know, and really grounded those characters, because they lead violent lives. Yeah. To pretend like the stuff that they do is not close to a villainy kind of thing is you know, rose-colored glasses kind of mentality.
Yeah.
You know, so he really showed the true life, like, you know, there's a dark world they live in, and they're going to do some bad things. And I feel like Mark Millar does that with his characters, you know, when he does it with Logan or even like with Civil War and stuff like that. And a lot of his original stories, you see that. Yeah. Like, look at something like Wanted. Wanted, like, I didn't even know that was actually a story of his until after I watched the movie. I watched it, and I was like, wow, that was really cool. And then I discovered there's a comic book. Oh, man, I got to read the comic book. You know, and I obviously researched, and I was like, oh, this came out first. And I said, oh, okay. I was like, this guy is pretty freaking violent. It's like, what else has he written? You know, and then his books like Nemesis. If you haven't read Nemesis, think of, like, Batman dressed in white on steroids. Matter of fact, you know what? A better example for someone like you, Lenny, you love the Red Hood.
Yeah.
You know, Red Hood's a dual wielding gun guy who's just kicking ass, taking names. That's what Nemesis is. Okay. Just dressed all in white, I'm sold. Covered in blood.
I'm sold.
Yeah. Like, any cover you see with, see this guy, he's just grinning because he's taking guys out.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It was like Batman, Red Hood. Like, Dark Batman, of course, so.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, The Punisher, stuff like that, but just super gritty. Yeah. Artist for that, actually, the same guy who did the art for Old Man Logan and Civil War. McNiven. Steve McNiven. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah, and that's what helps his stories, too, really get sold. Mm-hmm. He pairs himself with artists that are amazing. Like, these are the top-of-the-line artists. You know, you look at something like this movie, The Kingsman.
Yeah.
The artist that he had for that.
Dave Gibbons.
I was like, why am I thinking of Dave Gibbons? But anyone who does know who Dave Gibbons is, as you should, is the artist of The Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, no wonder this thing got picked up. It's like, you got the artist who did another amazing book that became a great movie.
Uh-huh.
Of course, that's all personal opinions, you know. Right. I think it was a great movie. Others may think otherwise. You know, and then Mark Millar together, it's like, yeah, of course, yeah. This is a good story. There's no losing
here. Enough said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, what's your standout thing though, Jen? I never heard from you.
Don't make me choose a favorite.
What's something like, what's a standout thing from one of these films that you've seen? It's like, oh my God.
I think when Kick-Ass came out, I was totally in love with Hit Girl. Just like I think everyone else was. And it just felt really weird because she's like 10 at the time. Or whatever. But
I think it's only weird if you're like an older man and you're in love with Hit Girl. And you're not her dad.
Yeah,
I guess I can get away with that, right?
Like, I'm not in love with Hit Girl, but I respect her very much.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I will not mess with that girl.
Yeah, no.
Even in real life, it's like, I will not mess with Chloe Moretz.
No, yeah.
It's like, she'll kick my ass.
She's like, she's been training for a long, long time.
Yeah.
She knows how to wield
her whole life
knives
yeah.
better than most people.
It's like, so. Her best friend is Jackie Chan. Yeah, okay, I'm good. I won't mess with you. Yeah.
Is her best friend Jackie Chan?
Well, his training school is the one she trained with.
Oh.
Yeah, his that stunt, his whole like stunt choreography school.
So much.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That explains a
you
lot.
Train with them. You're
yeah.
badass.
Yeah.
It's true. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. But yeah, that was kind of something that stood out to me, just because it's like, in general, like, there's not a lot of, you don't see that often, like, young yeah. kids doing what they're doing in that mm-hmm. movie, and just bringing a very, like, mature and adult subject matter.
Yeah. Yeah, she herself, she did a phenomenal job with that role. It's like, not every kid can grasp such an adult role in anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never mind something like that. Like, she...
Yeah. She sold it really well.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, didn't shy away from any part of it. Like, the swearing or, like, the... She really...
All of
it.
The
yeah.
swearing.
All of the swearing. Yeah.
Yeah, she owned that part 100%. I was like, mm-hmm. it's amazing how she, being the young, one of the youngest people in that movie, somehow was, like, the most...
She was the most convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. She had the oldest
Some
persona.
Of the lines that she said made me blush, and I'm just yeah. like, oof. I would never say those things out loud.
Why, I'd never.
The thing I really like about Hit Girl is it seemed like, I feel like a lot of people do, like, stuff where they, like, make kids swear, and it's, like, totally for shock value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like shock value. Like, it felt really convincing, like, her as a character.
Like, what else would she have said? Yeah. Kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially considering the upbringing she had.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It just totally made sense.
Yeah.
Which, at the same time, you know what? We can't let this go unsaid. Like, the unsung... dead hero of that movie, which is, you know, spoilers, I guess, if you haven't watched it yet, you know.
Get out of the cage.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage was pretty dope in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, he gets crapped on a lot because he, you know, again, you know, he needs money. You gotta make some money
Cage,
to buy the next 10,000 vases or whatever. You gotta do. He's a frugal life. But, you know, he did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like, for every 10 movies that he makes, there's that one. It's like, that was really good. That's
yeah.
a top of the line Nicolas Cage performance.
Yeah, no, he
you
did
know?
A great job. That whole movie, I feel like, was really well cast.
Yeah,
it was,
him
yeah.
and Chloe Grace Moretz and I don't remember the actor's name, but the guy who played McLovin.
What is?
Oh, Mince, Christopher Mintz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because Superbad had just come out, and
yeah.
everyone knew him as McLovin,
yeah.
and it was, like, perfect. Like, the sequence of that event happening just worked out really, really well for that movie. Because he was
yeah.
good on his own, but mm-hmm. the fact that he had just been McLovin somehow sold the part even more.
I agree with you 100% because, like you said, he was in the movie Badass. And then seeing him in this is like, well, now he became badass.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, he didn't need the rest of the team. Like, now he's at the end, he ends up getting his own gang. And he becomes a supervillain.
Mm-hmm.
What's more badass than that?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be McLovin anymore.
It's like, oh, McLovin grew up.
Yeah. He did grow up, yeah. That was, it's a beautiful thing to see.
Mm-hmm. I actually just like watching that dude do stuff. Like, it's just funny. Like,
mm-hmm.
what was that movie? What was like the end of the world?
Yeah.
This is the end?
This is, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was there.
The one with James Franco's house
yeah.
party, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He was so good in that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what happened to him in that. Well, obviously everyone dies. Everyone dies,
everyone,
but the core
yeah.
crew.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, like, how he died. No one remembers.
No, I don't remember either.
Because if you're not Michael Cera getting impaled and still whining about it, then you don't remember that, right?
Yeah. Michael Cera's another one that cracks me up. Because he's kind of... He always plays, like, that derpy character. So
yeah.
When,
yeah.
when he gets put into, like, a situation where he doesn't have to do that anymore, it's just like... Because wasn't he
yeah.
the one that, like, what, like, Rihanna, like, slapped the crap out of him in that movie?
Yeah, because he was, like, a cokehead.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
all drugged out and stuff.
Right? And he was, like, feeling her up, and she, like, smacked
yeah.
the crap out of him. That was
yeah.
great.
Yeah, you don't touch the Rihanna.
Which
no,
actually really happened.
Not touch the Rihanna.
Like, I mean, he asked her
like
if
coke?
He could do... No.
Yeah, she, knows, yeah, she
well,
really slapped him, right?
Yeah, yeah. she really slapped him because he was, like, can I touch your ass? And she's like, only if I can slap you as hard as I can. Oh. And he was like, okay, so they deal. Went and did it. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a win-win situation as long as he's still standing at the end. Right,
and he never washed his hand ever.
Every movie from here on out, you're going to be watching, it's like, they never show that right hand because it's dirty.
Oh, God.
Got that Essence Oriana on it. Things just took a weird turn.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Jen, where'd you take us?
That was my fault, guys. I'm so sorry.
Bring it back. Got to bring it back.
Reel it back in.
All right. Mark Millar, awesomeness. Awesome show. So silly. Well, I've been having this bubble up. I don't want to hold it in anymore.
Oh, gosh. All are right. You doing what you're about to do?
Yeah, because Kingsman's great. I can't wait to watch it tomorrow. Mark Millar is awesome. I can't wait to see what Netflix pumps out. But anyone who listened to our podcast last week knows that we went to go watch.
Oh, this is what we're doing now.
This is what's happening.
Yeah. Don't let those sighs fool you,
all right? I can feel the trepidation just, like, right. washing off of Jen.
It's like anyone's listening is like, oh, no, they're going to talk about it. No!
We were just having a great conversation about the Essence Oriana. Now we're going
to So, yes, the controversial-driven Mother happened last week. We all watched it.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
Or we think we did.
That's like everyone's response. Like, my best friend's like
was I really there?
He's like, I mean, on Facebook, like, 5 minutes after coming out of the theater, it's like, so, I watched Mother. I think I watched Mother. Did I watch Mother? What did I watch? Where am I?
Well, I'm not questioning the fact that I watched it. I know I watched it.
There's no denying it. Yeah, we definitely watched it.
My bank account statement says that I watched it.
It's like, my eyes that I'll never get able to get rid of, they watched it.
So I'm not questioning that. Yeah. It's just... questioning my life decisions.
Get to the nitty gritty. Jen.
No.
What were your thoughts? Hit me up.
Okay.
Be brutal, you know, just keep it real.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was a very stressful movie. And a lot of what Aronofsky, the topics that he hit, for me, it was very personal and hit really close to home so many ways. So, I mean, in the sense that he elicited like a bunch of feelings and emotions, he did his job. I mean, isn't that the goal of a good movie or a movie in general as a filmmaker? So he definitely did that, but it's just like, I wasn't expecting that to come in so hard and fast. Like, it just,
yeah.
I mean, I walked in not knowing what was going to happen. First of all, because the trailers leading up to it, I didn't watch many of them, but the ones that I did see, no idea what was happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Which was by design.
Yeah. True. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Which, let's be honest, if he showed any more in those trailers,
it would have given away
some stuff. Like, he kind of had to show the trailer that way, in retrospect to how everything played out.
Yeah.
Well, I heard the actual release date of the movie was supposed to be later, but then they showed it at, was it Sundance? I forget what
that's film a festival.
Festival. Yeah, it's a, they, he it's, showed it
it's
at.
It's not Silver Scream, though. What's up with that, Darren? It's not Silver Scream, man.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he showed it at a festival and I guess was so worried about it leaking online from the festival. And he was like, I'm so committed to no one getting spoiled for this movie that I want to push the release date up.
Wow.
Dang.
I did a lot of reading about it after because I was like, I need to process
likewise.
What happened.
You're in such distress.
Oh, man. Well, then, from that, let's... Eleni, what was your take from the film? What are your thoughts?
I actually really liked it. It's like a film that I almost want to go back and watch, like, not necessarily, like, I want to be able to, like, pause it and be like, okay, I want to analyze everything that's happening right now. I'm going to describe this in such a way where it sounds like it would be a major turnoff to people, but I almost wanted to break it down the way that I break things down, like, I broke things down in English essays that I wrote in high school, like, with like all of this like super like analysis, like it reminded me of analyzing the poem The Second Coming by W.B. Yeats. It had that sort of feeling to me very much, even though the subject matter wasn't exactly the same. I mean, it was real, like, but so it, I really liked it. I liked all the not exactly random, but sort of randomly placed symbolism in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it, like, usually when a movie is that sort of like heavy handed with the point that it's trying to make, I don't enjoy it, but I feel like he was so upfront with every bit of this is a metaphor and no part of it is set in any kind of tangible reality that it didn't really bother me.
I like that. I got that. As for, I have a lot of friends who disagree with that whole thought process.
And I totally understand him agreeing.
I can't relate with those characters because they never had a chance to develop or breathe or anything. It's like, they weren't supposed to.
Yeah, very much not real people. Like,
yeah. It's like, that was not the point for this film. You know, for me, it's something that if you saw this on paper, mm-hmm. it's like, wow, this is something you'd see on stage. This is like a stage performance, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. anyone who's familiar with like with stage plays, like they're more free to do things that are very metaphorical and represent other things, you know, and it's almost like a slam poetry kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it had that feel. It's like, I feel like Aronofsky decided to take that motif and it's like, I'm going to do this in a film. Because with how much he had going, everything, it went fast. Like, I'm gonna spoil some things. So, spoilers, it's all coming out right now. All right. It gets to a point where the house is just getting bombarded with people. It's getting destroyed. We go from book signing in a matter of like 20 seconds, there's a riot. Yeah. And people are getting shot in the head. And it's like, well, where'd the SWAT team come from? Well, there's a military in here. And it's like, everything just is really quick. Like, you go through catastrophe, where every room is metamorphosizing into some new event that is very reminiscent to something that's happening in the world today. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's like the war in Iraq or just like the terrorism in Europe or even here in our homelands, you know, everything. Like, it's just like I said, it's a lot of symbolism and metaphors. And a lot of it's relative to what we're living right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's so fast-paced. And it's how could you have done that on stage? Like, you have to do that in a film. Right. So for me, it's like, and I'm a fan, you know, but I'll be critical too. It's like, I love the ambitiousness to do something like this, to do something. It was very raw. Mm-hmm. It was very much in your face. And it's just like, you know what? Like, at the end of the day, like, for me, it was, this is a man who's angry at the world that we've created, like, that whether you believe in God the creator or in science or whatever, it doesn't matter. Us as humans run this world and we're effing it up in his eyes, you know. That's what I got, you know.
And it like very much like it had to say it had no central point, I feel like doesn't seem accurate, but it was definitely not about just one thing.
It was about everything.
Pretty much every, like, if there's like a facet of society that you could probably pick, I think it was probably represented in some way in that movie, with very few exceptions. Like, it hit on climate change and religion and just interpersonal relationships and sexism and just kind of everything, parenthood, like everything.
Nothing was off limits on this thing. It's such like every little thing.
No stone like you said, like, left unturned.
I don't know if everyone wants to watch this movie over again, but like, I'm with you, Eleni. I definitely want to see it again, you know, maybe not tomorrow.
You know, it's funny, but like, that I wanna you guys say that. It's so funny that you guys say that. Because we were... I'm totally going to call these guys out on this.
Well, no, you know I wanted to watch it again. I said that.
Okay, I'm totally going to call her out on this right now for a second. Because... we were talking outside of the theater for a while, and then Eleni's girlfriend came up, and we were joking around. It's like, all right, what are we going to do now? And we're like, oh, we're going to watch Mother again. And she was like, we are not.
Okay. No, it wasn't that I never yell at wanted us. To see it again. It was like, oh, you just had this long-ass fever dream? Have it again right now. Like, no, I need a lot of time to digest. Like, I'm not planning on watching it again within the next couple weeks unless Olivia really wants to go see it in the theater. But I am planning on watching it again sometime because...
I think...
But it takes a little bit of time to digest. Yeah.
Yeah, because it is. It's
I felt
full
like
of
I
stress.
Needed a beer after that. Like.
Yeah,
or a shot or two.
Yeah, very much.
Just
yeah.
to reflect on life.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a movie that was meant to be, you know, like entertaining.
Oh no!
In any way.
Yeah. I said it when we got out of the theater. I was like, I thought at one point I was actually gonna cry. Like,
yeah.
It hit me emotionally. It's like yeah. this is deep. Like I can't believe you actually showed that thing right now. Like I'm not even gonna say what happens.
Yeah.
That, but I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Like, he just did that.
Like I feel like I teared up at one point, but I don't even remember what point it was at because all of it was so heavy.
Yeah.
Right.
Like within the last like 20-25 minutes, it's really an emotional bombardment
yeah.
of it's, just like here's yeah. everything right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it was for me. Like, it felt like his verse. This is his like Passion of the Christ moment,
yeah,
of mm-hmm. sorts. You know, mm-hmm. which that's the way like people, you know, give it some critical acclaim, and other people just bash it because like they say it's just one guy getting tortured for a whole like 2 hours, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like what's artistic about that? You know, teach their own on it. I watched the Passion of the Christ in the theater with my mom. I bawled my eyes out watching that thing. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get the message, you
right.
know, as
yeah.
you know, whether you believe or not, it's like I read the Bible growing up as a kid, you know. I may not believe everything that book talks about, but I believe in God, you know. I believe that there was a man named Jesus Christ, whether he turned water into wine and made bread multiply or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't matter. This guy was real. It's in history. And to think that this one guy got tortured that way, it's like that's,
mm-hmm.
you know. The fact that humanity could let something like that happen,
yeah.
that's a sad thing to
yeah.
think about.
Just
you know?
Watching someone just suffer, is
yeah.
just, it's not something
it's not,
that
yeah.
you can digest easily.
Yeah.
At all. It's like, forget Hostel, all right?
yeah.
Watch The Passion of the Christ.
<It's>,
I'll tell you that right now. But that's what it brought me back to, just that mindset of like just showing something so traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just everything in the world. You know, like for me, so from my perspective, I did enjoy it. Well, I appreciated what he was, the story he was trying to tell.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, my critical opinion though, he could have held back a little bit. Like, I think it, to get more of a broader audience acceptance,
yeah.
he should have held back and maybe went a little more on the metaphor. It's like, let them have more of a character where they feel like they could be in the real world. Because he said, it's obvious. We were just secluded in this patch of quote unquote paradise.
Right.
You know, and it was obvious there was no other world. This is it.
Right.
This is the
yeah.
world. You
yeah.
know? And I think that having that disconnect definitely drew people out of it.
Mm-hmm.
He maybe should have, you know, expanded a little bit.
Yeah.
But
I can see that.
An interesting thing is like yourself, Eleni, I've been reading a lot about it too. And I read an interesting theory. It's like, which I kind of felt at for certain scenes.
Uh-huh.
And it's that, you know, obviously we said like Mother, which is. Jennifer Lawrence's character represented, you know, like Mother Earth and many other things that
yeah.
were
right.
within that category of her. But there's a theory that she wasn't even Mother Earth at all. And the theory is that she was actually Lucifer. And if you look at it's the head nod, it's like, I thought the same thing when I was reading it. It's like,
we both looked up like,
uh-huh.
I didn't,
like,
when I watched it, I didn't think so much that she was
yeah.
Lucifer. As much as that there was hints towards heaven and hell, because every time you went to the basement,
yeah.
you got this sense of like there being hell.
Right.
You know.
And her saying, I'm going to go get ready for the apocalypse.
Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
But anyone who was like anything about Lucifer, Morningstar, is that he
mm-hmm.
was the angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was supposed to be the one who takes care of humanity
mm-hmm.
and earth and everything. Of course, he turned his... In essence, he kind of turned his back on it, but he was also, you know, punished by his dad. A whole bunch of stuff we're not going to get into. You know,
yeah.
That's for another podcast. But then when you think of, like, his backstory and
uh-huh.
then you compare it to hers, it's like her thing, she was this bringer of light in essence. Because for any dark moment there was, she tried to bring it
mm-hmm.
into some kind of something good,
yeah.
you know. Because in essence, Lucifer was a good angel at one time. He wasn't
yeah.
always bad.
right.
Yeah.
You know, even when you think of the portrayal of Lucifer in other stories, like in other movies, he's never really bad there either. Like when things like, let's say, what's a great example? End of Days, I guess, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's kind of a stretch. But, you know, or like The Devil's Advocate. It's like when
okay.
you, he never lies. He always tells the truth. You know, maybe a better example is even Lucifer, the TV show.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
But like, it's, he's always upfront about everything. You know, there's there, everything you see from him is what you get. Everything you saw from her is what you got. She was true. You know, she was always the, trying to be the truth to the situation. You know, but it's even just like every time she took the medicine.
The yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which obviously was more, we talked about, was more of a thing of just metaphor for drugs.
Drugs, yeah.
But it was yellow. Yellow is more closer to being the light,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is, you know, morning star, sun, all this stuff. It's little symbolisms. And I was like, okay, I guess I kind of see what you're talking about.
I didn't see that,
you know?
But I still feel like it's a little.
Well, to furthermore add to it, it's like, what was Lucifer's problem with God? He was ignored.
Okay.
The angels were ignored. And ignored for who? Ignored for humanity.
For humans,
yeah.
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 Like,
yeah. You think of like everything that happened with the Adam and Eve characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Makes sense, actually. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have started off with that.
That's the major.
Now I see it.
Okay.
Okay.
That's an interesting
gotta go in
take.
Slow. That slow bleed.
That's a really interesting take.
Yeah. Which I thought
it was yeah. It was all of the symbolism.
There's so many layers. That's the thing.
What sold it to me, because that's like, I guess that's something that I just really like, is just like breaking every little thing apart for its like minor symbolism and what it could mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even like tiny little details, like the frog in the basement and the cicadas outside. And
which
like,
again, this, not that I'm all full on for the Lucifer thing, but who found the frog?
Right.
You know, it was her.
Yeah.
You know, down where in the basement, which would have represented hell.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
there were actually, three of the, what was it? How many
of the plagues?
Plagues?
Seven.
I think it was seven or eight.
No.
I think it's eight. Because seven is deadly sins.
Mm.
I think
that's like we got to read the Bible tonight, guys.
I guess so. But there are actually three of them represented in the movie. There was like
the frog,
the locusts,
right?
And then how spoilery do we want to get?
All the way, man.
All the way. Okay, it was loss of firstborn.
Yeah.
All was right. The other one that I noticed just from the first watch through. So there could have been even more,
likely to be more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was quite the film. You know, I'm curious, like, everything I've been seeing so far from reviews, there's been a lot more hate reviews from what I've seen now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to like reviews. You know, it seems like we're on team like for the most part. Jen's team don't watch it again.
No, like when now that we're talking about it, actually, it's just like I kind of want to analyze too, because like thinking of the plagues, like I like to find things.
Yeah.
In general, it becomes like a game to me.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, I do need to watch it when it comes out on like Netflix or something, wherever I can pause and rewind and watch in my own time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with his films that I was saying before in the other podcast. Like, his films make you think, and they make you want to go back. It's like, because every scene's going to have something that you missed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every little thing he does is with a purpose and for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of critiques. It's like, oh, well, all of his close-ups, they were too tight. Like, I want a wide shot. Where are the wide shots at? You know, it's like, why is it all handy cam? Which, granted, it gets annoying. But there's a purpose behind it. It's like,
there was a
we're supposed
to
feel
like,
what she's feeling.
Like, even, and I told this to you guys before, I felt like it was a little bit much in the beginning just because what it was doing was actually taking me out of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas later on, it made sense and it didn't detract from it
at all.
Or pull me out of it at all. It's just when she was walking around the house and there was all the like the shaky handy cam that I was like, I'm getting a little bit visually overwhelmed from nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, which kind of makes
sense. You're a pro, buy a gimbal, right?
Yeah. I don't know. So that's like, I think that was sort of the thing that stood out to me. But I feel like I came out of it not feeling good about myself, just being alive as a human.
Yeah.
So I could understand where people are like, don't want to feel that and feel like the movie is criticizing them personally. I know there was some guy that was like kind of going hard on, this is a super anti-Christian movie and stuff yeah, like yeah, that.
There's been a lot
like,
of that.
It's not really anti-religion so much as anti-bad behavior in the name of religion, which...
Yeah. And to be honest, like, it doesn't fully hate on just Christian...
Yeah.
No, it's, I mean... It,
as the rooms... More spoilers. Like each, as everything progresses near the end, you see each room is kind of taking on a different religion, a different sense of what how to worship, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know? Which, in essence, that is the... kind of like the true evil of sorts with like with stuff we experience today, mm-hmm. you know, and this is granted, this is be my own personal opinion. I don't, you know, whatever, you know, how you decide to worship can decide how you're going to affect everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can worship without having to cause pain on anybody.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And that's what I felt a lot of those scenes were trying to show that it's like, mm-hmm. you know, there was that room where people are just, they're idolizing him, you know, the Javier Bardem's character of who is God. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're not causing any trouble to anybody. But they have the other people who are freaking torturing people and throwing them in jail cells for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're a girl, you're a whore. It's like, whoa, what the hell?
Of all women,
Yeah, you know. And I think that was just to show how every religion reacts. Because we all worship a god. It may not be the god or whatever god you want to say, but it's everyone worships a god. You know, you call him what you want to call him, but it's still just that one guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I think that was what he was trying to encompass there.
Yeah.
Which other, you know, that person felt, you know, their religion was being attacked personally.
Yeah, I mean, it did borrow really heavily from what I felt like primarily Christian symbolism.
For sure, yeah.
But also, absolutely. I'm not really familiar with that much symbolism from other religions.
Yeah.
Right. Just because so much English literature, like, if it's making any sort of religious reference, it's from the Christian Bible.
Yeah.
It's most
relative.
Yeah, so I feel like almost even going back to your point of reaching a broader audience, that probably is the way to hit, not necessarily the broadest audience, but the most easily digestible form of message. There could be any... like reason for it, but yeah, I definitely don't think it was intended to single Christians out.
Yeah, I think what asked was like every character was so multi-layered too.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah. We find out that Michelle Pfeiffer's character and Ed Harris's character are very much like Adam and Eve.
Yeah,
you know, but are they dead on Adam and Eve by any means? No,
yeah,
not at all. You know, because there's so much more going on.
Yeah.
So like, for the person who wants to be offended and is like, well, they're hating on Christian. You know, religion. Yeah. It's like, because of this, this, and that. It's like, well, there's more to it. There's so much more, you know. Yeah.
If that's how you feel, you're kind of searching out a reason to be offended by it, I almost feel like. Like, there's a lot of ways to not take this movie personally. So. For sure.
Yeah, so, that was Mother.
Yeah.
It was.
If you've watched Mother, let us know what you think. Because I'd love to know what our fans are thinking. Because this movie was definitely advertised, in essence, as kind of a horror from what you had mentioned last week.
Yeah. And I said, I feel like it's saying it could be one of these things, and it's not going to be either of those things. Yeah. That was right.
Yeah. Which, it was still, there is a horror to it to think that that's... It's,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely it's a decent representation moments,
of who we
yeah.
are. Yeah, you know?
Psychological horror.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mess with my head.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let us know what you thought of it, if you've seen it, you know. And also let us know what you think about The Kingsman, if you're going to watch that, because we're going to watch it tomorrow. Right? Please? Please?
Yeah, we'll watch it tomorrow.
Please, Jen decides whatever I get to do in life.
We're going
to
watch it tomorrow.
Oh, I'm
doing what?
That's not cool.
Now we'll watch it tomorrow.
If you feel like you want to see both. It might be nice for you if you watch Kingsman right after Mother. You need to take a breather and watch something that's really just for entertainment.
Yeah.
I think that would be too much emotion in one day. To go from utter depression up until like utter to grand joy. And I'm assuming it's going to be grand joy. I don't even know. But it's going to be way happier than Mother.
That's also a lot of like speed too, because Mother gets
true.
Really fast.
That is true.
Yeah, it ramps up, and that's a lot of action. Yeah.
Give yourself a breather in
I
the
couldn't
middle.
Do that. I'll wait till next year when it comes out on Netflix. We'll Netflix it. That's what we'll do with Mother.
Okay.
I'm not going back to the theater for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You hear my tone of voice. It's like, did he like it? It's like, I did. It's just,
that's,
it's
I feel
too
like
emotional.
That's how, yeah, I feel like that's it.
Yeah.
I remember reading a review that was like, I liked it and I appreciated what he was doing, but I never want to see that in my life ever again.
Yeah. It hurts.
Which is understandable, but yeah, you got to be in a space for it.
Yeah. Kingsman all the way. Let us know what you think. Mm-hmm. But that's another Famous Monsters podcast for you tonight. If you want to follow us and comment, please let us know what you think. Our show can only get better through you. So inspirational, right?
Totally.
Follow us on Facebook at FMOFL and Instagram and Twitter at Famous Monsters. We need those likes, baby. Need those shares. Need those comments. Yeah.
All of it.
Drilling it in. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, George Jack of All Trades. With me tonight was Jen Pham. Bye, Jen.
Bye.
Jen fell asleep. I think Jen fell asleep, guys. I'm sorry, man.
It's been a long day.
Trying to keep professional. And of course, Eleni, the number one Falcon.
Number one Falcon. Wow, I got an upgrade.
Well, I didn't get a title. Come on.
Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.
Good night.